Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. Lest I forget it, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. Today we'll be talking about biblical stewardship. Biblical stewardship, what does that mean? What does it mean to have a biblical worldview? It's an impossibility to honor God in biblical stewardship lest we have a biblical worldview. In fact, that is something that seems to be a misnomer today. What is a biblical worldview? In fact, in the latest Barna report, the Barna Research Group says that only 6% of Americans hold a biblical worldview. Only 6% of Americans hold a biblical worldview. And out of all of the millennials, ladies and gentlemen, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, only 4% of those hold a biblical worldview. So we need to understand what God's Word is saying when it comes to stewardship. The Scripture is clear that it is required of a steward to be found faithful. What does it mean, stewardship? We're going to be talking about stewardship in the realm of finances today. And what does the Word of God say about it? So that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that should have the first, foremost, and the final word in what we say or do. That's having a biblical worldview. We're going to be talking about that in this broadcast today. Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32, as he's speaking to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And further, he makes the declaratory statement in John 17:17. Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." And so it's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that ought to motivate us. That should be the modus operandi of our lives. The truth of the Word of God should be that which gives the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our pathway. The truth of the Word of God ought to be that which is foremost in our hearts and minds. But ladies and gentlemen, in the society in which we're living today, most people do not know what truth means. In fact, you're despised, rejected. There's disdain for the one that stands for truth. And it was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. That's so true today, ladies and gentlemen. But I'll read a blurb from an article written by the former Senator Jim DeMint. Jim DeMint made a very profound statement. He warns in the headline on this article, DeMint warns Americans decline linked to the death of truth. Let me read you a blurb from what he said in that article. Truth is the core principle of Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of biblical or Bible-based Christianity, Jim DeMint said. A deviation from and a decline, we need to look no further than the Bible-based Christianity. Further, he says, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about the reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even among Christian churches. Ladies and gentlemen, that should tell us where we are and why we're where we are today in society. It goes back to the fundamental of what we're doing in our churches. This is the reason you hear me say so often, we need to restore power in the pulpits. We need to restore the Word of God in the pulpits. We need to stop this mamsy-pamsy stuff with these dudes dancing around with the knees worn out and the earrings hanging out of their ears and tattoos all over their body, standing there talking about this is going to be a greater day and God's promised to bring you higher and higher, et cetera, et cetera. He's promised to prosper you, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, that's voodoo theology. It has nothing to do with the Word of God. And yet that permeates our churches today, and we've left the truth. That's what Jim DeMint was saying. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And that's what I pray that you've determined to do. You've got to learn the truth, listen to the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions about power backup. Tools for Time has a staff that can answer your questions about the professional and the homeowner lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flag flowing there. 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. Find that flagpole on the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I have with me today Pastor Davis. Pastor Davis and I always enjoy having these dialogues and discussions with you by way of the radio broadcast and talking about biblical truth, biblical principles, and a biblical worldview. Pastor, thank you for being here today.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, for inviting me again on today. I want to say good morning, first of all, amen, to my bride of 35 years.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for you. I love you so much. Amen.
She's like Minister my bride. Atkinson. Put up with you for all those years, right?
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Minister Atkinson. Amen. Good friend. Amen. And his wife and family this morning, amen. Amen. They came out with us the other night, amen, at the commencement exercises.
Yes.
And everyone enjoyed. So when y'all see that young man named Dr. Youngblood, tell him he really preached the message on the other night. And he just blew the crowd away. And I just thank God for him. I went back and I had so much bragging to do on him because he is mine. I claim him for mine, amen. Amen. So
well,
I thank God.
I tried to light the fire.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for him. Thank God for you also, Dr. Phelps. Amen. Love you so much. Amen. And amen. And then to my mother. Amen. I love you, Dr. Dorothy. Amen. Just love everyone on this morning.
Amen.
But I thank God for being here on today. And we have such, amen, a great topic of discussion on today. Amen. That has been a center of controversy in the church for many years. Now, it's not a controversy because it is a controversy.
Yes.
It's a controversy because it was made
a controversy
by the people of God, which should not be, Dr. Youngblood,
but it is.
Because if we love God, amen, then we ought to obey him and keep his commandments. Amen.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about, what Pastor Davis is referring to, is we're talking about biblical stewardship, and under biblical stewardship, we're talking about T-I-T-H-I-N-G, tithing. Tithing. Never will forget a number of years ago, a dear friend of ours is going to be with the Lord now, talked about when he first got saved and heard the preacher talking about a tithy, and we need to tithy God. And he said he didn't understand that word tithy. What does tithy mean? And he finally realized it means tithing. And after he realized what the word tithe means, a tenth, he said from that point forward he gave a tenth of all that he had to God. He ran a business here in this city. His business would give a tithe off the gross income in the business. Then he and his wife would give a tithe off their gross income personally. And so we're talking about tithing today, so I hope that it perks your ears up, causes you to want to listen. Perhaps you're already saying, foot dragging and saying, I don't believe in tithing. I don't believe the Bible teaches tithing. And we're going to talk about some of those obstacles that are in the pathway of many today that prevent them from being blessed of God in relationship to giving God a tithe of their income. But ladies and gentlemen, the point that I want to start with for you to understand, I'm looking at an article, and I touched on it by way of part of the pre-introductory monologue. This article says only 6% of Americans hold a biblical worldview, according to the new study. This is dated May 26, so it's brand new. The number of Americans espousing no religious belief at all has been increasing rapidly over the years. A new survey shows that trends continuing, claiming a mere 6% hold to a biblical worldview. Further, the article states, while 51% of the 1,000 American adults surveyed say they hold a biblical worldview, the new study determined only about 6% actually embrace a belief system. The researchers came to the conclusion that after asking a series of secondary questions of those who claim to espouse a biblical worldview, for example, out of the 51%, less than 47% believe that when they die, they go to heaven, only because they have confessed their sins and have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. An additional 49% accept reincarnation as the possibility after death. A biblical worldview was the most popular prevalence statement was make up only 6%. Barner at the time said, with the 94% of Americans essentially rejecting the biblical worldview as their preferred way to think and live, placing first in a race in which few people cross the finish line is hardly a victory for in America. 94%, ladies, hear that, 94% essentially rejecting a biblical worldview as their preferred way of thinking. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's a massive article that I find very intriguing. I love to read and look behind those researchers, especially the Barner Research and the Pew Research and Lifeway Research, and what they find as far as Christians and Christian values and worldview in the Christian, from the Christian perspective. But ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about that today. So we should realize that why, as a result of that, we should cause us to understand why so many claim to be born again and yet not concerned about biblical doctrinal theological truths as regarding the Scripture.
My.
Pastor, I'm concerned when I hear so many people say that they're saved, but they simply are ignorant of the Word of God, anemic when it comes to the Word of God, immature when it comes to growing in the Word of God, and somehow, some way, think that they can out of hand just simply say, God's Word doesn't teach that I have to tithe.
Amen.
Let me just put a little footnote on that before we take our caller, Pastor. And it's not a matter that we have to tithe. God's not concerned about our money, but he wants to be the master. God's not concerned about our money, but he's concerned about ministry and what we do in ministry.
Amen.
And yet many people do not realize that it's the tithing, the giving, open hand and open heart that allows God to open the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing that we'll not be able to receive.
Amen, amen, amen. And then, Dr. Youngblood, we also must remember also the most important thing that we should remember when it comes down to the Word of God. As believers, amen, they don't come to us by way of compromise.
That's
they
right.
come to us in the form of commandments.
That's right.
So that means that if you are a believer or a child of God, you are required to do that.
That's right. If we have a biblical worldview, and it
amen.
Goes back to that prerequisite,
amen.
Fundamental. I believe we have Bob on the line. Bob, go ahead and question or comment, please.
Yeah, hey, guys. I was talking with a friend a while ago, and I was telling them that I don't believe in New Testament tithing, but I do tithe. And they asked me, well, if you don't believe in it, why do you tithe? And I said, well, maybe I'm wrong. So I told them I wanted to cover both bases.
Well, Bob, I appreciate you saying that. Let me just ask you a question. Why is it you believe that tithing is not New Testament?
My study of the New Testament, I believe that Jesus and the disciples, they kept the law only sort of out of a courtesy because they were still under the law, because the resurrection hasn't taken place yet. So legally they were under the law, but I don't believe that when the New Testament came into being, that they have to keep the law because the tithing was for the Jewish people, and tithing was part of the law, and we don't have to keep the law anymore. Tithing is still a great practice, and that's why I still tithe.
Well, I'm thankful that you tithe, Bob. Let me just jump in, though, and this is not meant for an argument or debate, but just simply for us to, as the scripture says, iron sharpeneth iron, so let's sharpen each other with this. When we look at what the scripture says, a lot of people say it's under the Old Testament law. You realize Abraham tithed 450 years before the law was given, tithing to Melchizedek. So it was not tithing born out of the law when Abraham started tithing, when that was the origin of it, of the introduction of tithing. That was before the law, 450 years before the law. And then Jesus in Matthew 5:17 says, think not that I've come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. The word in the Greek text, destroy, means to abrogate, to abridge, change, to nullify. Jesus said, I've not come to change, nullify, abridge, or to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. So he fulfilled the law in himself. And Jesus in Matthew 23:23 commends the tithing. Jesus says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done and not leave the other undone. Jesus commended tithing himself.
Yes, all under the legalistic 613 laws of Moses.
Moses didn't have 613 laws. There was 10 commandments, and the Jewish people set up for themselves a bunch of laws, rules, and regulations, we'd call them, that had nothing to do with the 10 commandments. Jesus is talking about the law of God, the 10 commandments that you find in the scripture. And if you say that we're not under the law, then the scripture says, thou shalt not kill. Does that mean we can go out and kill? So we need to be very careful when we talk about what the law says. And if we give to God a tithe out of the income that God gives us, it's not because of law. It's because of love. It's not because of it being that which is absolutely required, but because we want God to bless us. And it's the blessings that he opens the windows of heaven and pours out for us as a result of obedience.
That's exactly why I tithe.
Amen.
I don't tithe because Malachi says that you're robbing God. I tithe because I think it's the best way to give back to Jesus, to give to the church. And that's why I tithe, because I think it's the best way of obeying God as far as your finances are. I haven't come up with a better way. So that's why I tithe.
Amen. Well, we can't outgive God. Well, let's just simply succinctly say this. We've come to the same conclusion around a different route. It's like going the East Beltway or the West Beltway of 295. If you keep circling, you come to the same point. So,
Pastor, can I ask you a quick question about something else?
All right.
I don't know if you heard or not, but Russia just landed 3 bombers, nuclear-capable bombers, in Syria. To me, that's a game changer. Have you heard anything about that?
Not heard that, but what perhaps you may or may not know, Russia's had major submarine bases in Syria for years. In fact, Russia is armed to the teeth. They're willing, ready, waiting, angry, and aggressive, and ready to pull the trigger on any major confrontation toward Israel in particular. And when you look at Ezekiel 38:39, it's setting the stage for the eventuality of what God said is going to take place. And it's going to come out of Syria. It's going to come out of Iran. And it's Russia that's leading the pack.
If the Russian bombers are in Syria, how long do you think it would take once they're in the air to actually get to Tel Aviv? About 5 minutes?
Max 5 minutes.
Yeah. So,
no longer they gotten airborne and up high enough for the flight, but by the time they do that, it's ready to start making the descent coming down to land or to pass over and drop the weapon.
Yeah, to me, it's sort of like a Cuban Missile Crisis. I think you're old enough to remember that.
Absolutely. I'm young enough to remember that.
So. All right. Have a great day, y'all.
Thanks, Bob. God bless you for your call. We have Joseph on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I certainly remember the Cuban Missile Crisis. That was a scary time. But first, I wanted to give you my latest description for Dr. Fauci. Dr. Fauci is the Darth Vader of the medical Gestapo. And at the beginning of the broadcast, you talked about what is a biblical worldview. I think anybody who's read the Bible knows that had to be written by a divine being with an intelligence far superior to human beings. You know, it explains the origins of mankind. The Ten Commandments are perfect guidelines for mankind. I call the Bible the owner's manual for mankind. Absolutely. Regarding the, go ahead.
Absolutely. You're exactly right. Go ahead.
Regarding stewardship, Adrian Rogers 3 or 4 days ago gave a real good defense of tithing, and he said it's a natural and normal love response to what our Heavenly Father did for us. I mean, he gave his only son to die and be tortured to pay for our redemption. And once you get to know God, I mean, he's just love, 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 and you just want to do it. You want to even go more than tithing.
Absolutely.
Amen. Amen.
In fact, tithing is the beginning point for a Christian. Not 1%, 2%, or $2 or $5. Tithing, a tenth, is the beginning point. And if we love the Lord, and as Joseph, as I use the illustration, what if I were to say to you, I'm going to put you in business. I'll buy the land. I'll build a building. I'll put the stock on the shelves. I'll put the cash in the cash register. All you've got to do is run it and give me 10%, and you keep 90%. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? That's
yes,
what God's
sir.
Done. He's given us every heartbeat, every breath, everything that's called life is ours because of God. God holds the key to our eternal future. If we've said yes to him as Savior and as Lord, we know we'll spend eternity with him. And with every heartbeat, with every breath, God controls it. God's in control. And the best thing we can do is love him enough to say, you gave your only son to die, shed his rich red royal blood on Calvary's cross. I'm going to give my total. I'd say to people, if you can trust God with your eternal security, why can't we trust God with our wallet?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Amen. Dr. Youngblood, when it comes down to
Joseph,
it.
Joseph, thank you, brother, for your call and for your insight.
Yes, sir.
When it really comes down to it, I don't think people really, it doesn't come to the forefront of their mind that that same money that you go out and work for on your job when you get your paycheck, Uncle Sam don't even trust you with the money to put it into your hand first. He takes his off the top before you get
that's
yours.
Right. Yeah.
So now, why wouldn't you want to give to God? I mean, again, the way that you just explained it. Peter said, God is the one that gave us all things that pertain unto life and godliness.
Yes.
Now, out of all of that he's given us, we can never repay him. We can't pay him
back. No possibility. That's right.
So we ought to want to give him something. And listen, if God can't trust you with money, he can't trust you with anything.
That's right.
That's just Minister David speaking.
Well, that's it.
Amen. Amen. So we need to know and understand. We need to get more serious about this because he's not saying tithe, and let's make sure we understand this. We can tithe from more besides our money.
Mm-hmm.
We can tithe a tenth of our time in the church,
yes.
A tenth of our talents,
right.
All these different things like that. It's not just money, but people get so blown away when the subject comes up about money,
yes.
And that's where the controversy is in the church.
All
about money.
Somehow if a pastor stands and preaches the message on tithing or giving or stewardship, somehow people think, well, all he's talking about is money. Never will forget a number of years ago, a young man in our church, gone on to be with the Lord now, many years ago, but he was in our church, and somehow I touched on the word tithing during the course of a message, and he and his wife wanted us to sit down and talk. We went over to the home. We had a cup of coffee and a slice of cake, sat there and talked. And he said, Pastor, he said, I thought for a church that all of the community services like JEA and other things, power bill, all of that was paid by the community services. Businessmen took care of all of the expenses, and it didn't cost the church anything to operate. And I burst the bubble of what he thought because I said, no, we pay for everything we get just like anybody else does.
Amen.
It's not
Amen.
A matter of it being given. And he said, I didn't know that. He said from that point forward, he wanted to tithe.
Amen.
If that's what God required, that's what he wanted to do.
Amen.
And that's an amazing thing, ladies and gentlemen. But it's the tithes and offerings. An offering is over and above the tithe, and a tithe is what God requires of us. Contrary to multitudes to think that somehow, some way, we're going to bifurcate the Old Testament, the New Testament, and say because it was in the Old Testament when it was the point of origin under Abraham with Melchizedek and Genesis chapter 14, beginning with about verse, I believe it's about verse 13 or 14 and following, that somehow, some way, we're not supposed to tithe.
Amen.
We're not supposed to do so because somehow it's Old Testament. But, ladies and gentlemen, that's simply not the case at all. In fact, that's in the 18th verse through the 20th verse in the 14th chapter of Genesis, and it's the starting point. And, again, when you look at the laws of God, ladies and gentlemen, where sex is to be in marriage and not outside of marriage. He didn't do that to harm us, but to help us. When he said we should have no other gods before him, that's to help us and not to harm us. When the Bible talks about tithing, that's to be a blessing to us and not to harm us. And it should be done out of love and not under the law.
Amen.
Just as
Amen.
Bob said earlier, Bob called, it's because he loves the Lord that he gives.
Amen.
And that's the reason we ought to give, ladies and gentlemen, is because we love God for what he's done for us on the cross through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches about tithes and offerings into the local New Testament church. But there's, Pastor, I'm going to just talk about, by way of a brief statement, four of the major things that people use as their rationale for not tithing, or not giving, or not having biblical stewardship. Number one, multitudes say that God does not care what we give financially. God just doesn't care. You do what you want to, God doesn't care, God has nothing to do with it, and it's nonchalant that the church can operate without tithes and offerings. The second thing is, they say the Bible does not say that Christians are to tithe. They say there's nowhere the Scripture says, thou shalt tithe, and that's true. Not a verse in the Scripture says, thou shalt tithe, or you're going to be punished. God's Word doesn't say that. Then there are a number of people saying, well, I give $2 each week. I give $5 each week. Or I give 1%, or I give 2%, or 5%. Never will forget a financial planner, Christian financial planner, Burkett, that was on radio broadcast years and years and years before he went on to be with the Lord. Somebody called one day on the broadcast and asked the question, said, you know, I can't afford to tithe. We've got a home that we live in, we pay a payment. We've got a home down at the beach, we pay a payment. We've got three cars, we pay payments. We've got two boats, we pay payments, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And told the financial planner, what do you do? I can't afford to tithe. He said, well, if you can't tithe, you start out with 1%. And I screamed at the radio at the time because 1% is not a tithe. 2% is not a tithe. Tithe means a tenth, T-I-T-H-E. It's
Amen.
A tenth. One-tenth is what the dictionary says is a tithe.
Amen.
And that's what we ought to do. And then
Amen.
The fourth thing is, ladies and gentlemen, many people say tithing is under the law. And since we're not under the law, we're not expected to give tithes and offerings to the Lord. Therefore, the principle of biblical tithing is a hotly debated subject today, Pastor.
Amen.
And I found those that are wanting to hold on to their wallet, those that are more concerned about their money than the master, they need to either get saved or they need to grow in the Lord and stop living off the milk of the Word, but the meat of the Word.
Amen.
Is what we need to do.
Amen.
So it's
and
a matter
then,
of growing.
Dr. Youngblood, I have also come across this many a times in the church. When people fall on hard times, then they want to run to the church for help, financial help.
That's right.
I need the church to pay my light bill. I need the church to do this. I need the church to do that. Well, my friend, if you're not giving anything to the church, how can you expect to receive anything back from it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, this is the reason why he said in Malachi, we're going to cut this short. We'll be going to a break in a minute. But he said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be meat in my house.
That's right.
Meat comes in the forms of your needs. Now, if you are bringing meat to put in the storehouse, when you need meat, you can go back to the storehouse and get your meat.
Right. You can't
but
get
if you're
bacon
not putting anything
put
there,
in the fridge, right?
Amen. Amen. If you're not putting anything there, then you're not be able to get anything from it.
That's right.
Amen.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very hotly debated subject today, one that I feel that needs to be discussed, that most preachers will not talk about it. Most will not say anything about it because it is a debated subject. But we're talking about biblical worldview, a biblical stewardship worldview. And in that biblical worldview, that biblical stewardship worldview, we need to understand what we need to do with the M-O-N-E-Y for the master. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break for the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.